Moncrief on News Talk.
I always feel that this time of the week is almost, you know, I feel a bit weekendy. Because there's nothing like hearing to troubles in other people's lives to cheer me up.
Cheer you up.
Barbara and Declan are here.
Kind of a Monday feeling.
Yeah. Maybe.
As long as you don't put your nose outside the door, because that'll demolish any kind of good feelings you have.
Oh, right. It's bucketing
cats and dogs out there. Absolutely.
Oh, gosh.
When we were coming in.
Okay, well then strap in.
It's going to be slightly damp in the studio. The steam will be rising from us shortly.
I've been married for 2 years. I love my wife deeply. She's kind, thoughtful, and the centre of our home. But there's one thing that's becoming harder for me to ignore: her cooking. She puts a lot of effort into making meals for us, and I know it comes from a place of love. The problem is, she's not a very good cook. It doesn't come from a place of skill. I often struggle to eat the food. Sometimes I find myself making excuses or secretly grabbing something else later. She pairs random foods and spices together. Honestly, sometimes it makes me feel sick. I don't want to hurt her feelings or undermine her confidence, but I also don't want to keep pretending. How can I be honest without being cruel? Is there a gentle way to handle this without damaging our relationship?
Well, for once, I have the answer.
Fantastic.
Clear as day. And I congratulate this man's very clever wife. Because obviously the answer is he needs to do the cooking.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? There's no special magic that women have that makes us, as he calls us, the centre of the home.
Is that like an architectural structural beam?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it more or less is. You know, we don't have some kind of magic that makes us better at cooking than men, or better at kind of, you know, hoovering or tidying the bathroom or cleaning the toilet or any of that kind of stuff. No more than, you know,
centuries of conditioning, Barbara.
Centuries of conditioning. So this man needs to stop moaning and take over. End of story. End of advice. That's it.
There may be a set of situations is specific to their relationship where she does the cooking and he doesn't. He may do everything else.
Yeah. Well, then stop doing everything else and do the cooking.
Well, maybe he gets home at a certain time. She gets home earlier than him. That kind of thing. She enjoys cooking.
Maybe she thinks she's good at cooking.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, I just think he needs to do the cooking. He should be doing even half the cooking.
Well, yeah,
I can't imagine what job he has.
Do a bit of batch cooking at the weekend.
That's exactly it, that he could do cooking one night enough for maybe two nights or whatever.
He could be a concert pianist, and he has to be very careful with his hands in case he burns them.
Okay, I have done most of the cooking in my house for a long time, and my hands still work reasonably well, and I've never burnt the hands so that I couldn't actually operate them. So, that's nonsense.
The concert hall with it?
Yeah, really. Could you play Philip Glass though, if you were asked to?
Well, the long silent one. Anyone can play that one.
I don't know what you're talking about, but carry on.
Okay, sorry, went on.
John Gish,
347 or whatever it's called. Barbara's more of a Bad Bunny fan.
I love Bad Bunny.
You're thinking of Julio Iglesias.
Loved Julio back the in the day. I think Spanish is the sexiest language on the planet, and I have always been a sucker for men singing Spanish songs. But Bad Bunny was a revelation. I mean, I didn't watch the Super Bowl, but I've seen it enough on Instagram, and I'm obsessed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good and for you. Did you watch any clips
of
the Kid Rock alternative?
No.
I think it broke down or something.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But I mean, the funniest thing of all was when Donald Trump was tweeting afterwards saying something like, oh, the, you know, Super Bowl, nobody even understood a word. I thought you weren't watching it, man. You know, so, you know, he kind of told on himself.
That's the thing about Spanish. You don't need to understand a word. It's the sound of it. And the way it's all the rolling R's and everything.
I imagine a lot of Spanish speakers might disagree with that. They prefer to be understood.
I don't know what you're saying, but it sounds
lovely.
Yeah, but if you don't speak Spanish, you don't know what they're saying of the time. Still is lovely. Anyway, carry on.
Rushing along.
Bad Bunny forever. Jeez, you're on fire today.
What's person's your advice kitchen.
Here? Yeah.
Look, the reality of it is that aside from any assigning of roles and responsibilities within the house, because let's just assume, for reasons that we do not understand, the division of labour has left the job of cooking the dinner in the hands of somebody who is being judged by somebody else to not have the appropriate skills. Because I phrase it in that way.
Can I just remind you that all the studies show that women still do the bulk of everything?
Sure. But
just to let just to put that out there. Carry on.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I read some of the studies. I've actually done some of the studies while the women were doing the work as well. So look, the bottom line is that if they are both agreed that this is the way their house has been set up, and they both agreed that he's doing whatever it is, concert pianist, whatever he's doing, and she's making the lasagna, whatever it is. And then when it comes onto the table, it's mutually agreed that it's not up to scratch. Then we have a skill-based problem. If we have a taste-based problem, which is that when he gets his meal put in front of him, he's looking at it and going, I'm not really enjoying this, while she's scoffing it down with the delight that often people have when they make their own food. That's a him problem. So the reality of it is that you kind of go, well, what is the actual problem here? Are you saying that she's not good enough at cooking in general? In which case, I would suggest that show her by maybe taking over the role yourself.
Yeah.
Working together, where you can go, well, why are you putting the jalapeno peppers in with the strawberries, dear? You know?
Yeah.
You know, and she'll say, because I saw Luton, whatever his name, on the telly doing it. And it's amazing.
You saw who?
You know,
I saw Putin on the he's got a sideline. In between invading countries, I like to get in the kitchen.
Putin?
Putin Lovato. No, because, he was... Okay, now you're making my brain go into that kind of crazy place.
But we're assuming she doesn't know she's a bad cook. That's what the question seems to be implying.
That Declan makes. Is it that she's... Like, what is a bad cook? Or is it just that she's putting weird stuff together that he doesn't like?
Because in some world, that's what I was going with your man Heston Blumenthal.
That's what you're trying to say.
Some people, I stumbled over my word there, but that's what I meant. That in his world, he's being creative. But in another world, he's being mad.
Weird, yeah.
So, you know, because at the end of the day, if you don't like the taste combination that they put together, and as we know from watching programs like Celebrity, MasterChef, whatever, sometimes your great idea doesn't work. And sometimes that's because you tried something and it didn't work. So what do you do? You have a conversation about it. Do you like this? Do you not like this? This is a classic situation where they're just not telling each other what they think. And that's really stupid.
It is,
I don't know if this is an example from the actual question. Somebody's just texted in boiled mushroom and courgette soup.
Let me think about that. Boiled mushroom. Yeah, that would be a bit tasteless, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know the way, like, if you really want to insult somebody from Dublin, you tell them that codl is horrible. You know.
Most people from Dublin would agree with you, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, sorry, the other way around.
Yeah.
So your argument is it could be, like, she's cooking this stuff, she's chowing down, she's enjoying it, it's just that he doesn't enjoy it.
Yeah. Perhaps. And that's exactly, so it's like...
Then it's his problem.
Do you like this? And she's going, oh, thank God. You know, I hate it. You know, I'm off to do a course in cooking and
my point is that I think anybody can cook. It's down to, you know, if you have a cookery, you just follow the instructions. Like, it's not rocket science.
But some people don't like to do that, and some people aren't very good at giving it the attention. Some people never acquired the skills. I'm lucky enough to be living with somebody who, when they were 14, started working in a restaurant, which they did the whole way through university. So kind of came out of that experience really skilled in the kitchen and really like a talented cook. So over the years of living with that person,
does most of the cooking.
By osmosis. And also by encouragement and by suggestion, I have personally become a much better cook than I was at the beginning when I couldn't, boil toast or whatever you do. I wasn't able. And so I think in that thing, for everybody, the art of cooking is a journey that you improve if you like doing it and if there's encouragement, if there's results. If there's no conversation going, this is good, yesterday was better, or whatever it is, then what's the point? You know, I feel that the communication is at the core of this.
Yeah, no, you're right.
That's at the center of their home.
Yeah.
Somebody has suggested cooking lessons for two as a gift for Valentine's might help. Say it would be romantic to do something together.
Except he doesn't want to do the cooking, by all accounts. Otherwise, he would be doing it already.
Okay, opinions.
I suppose even if he can't cook during the week, there's nothing to stop him cooking at the weekends.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I don't understand.
Unless she's kind of taste blind and can't tell the difference between his cooking and her own cooking.
Or maybe he is. Because, you know, it is that thing of like, for, you know, whatever that mushroom soup thing, whether that was like a suggestion or an example of the worst kind of food in the planet. Some people, I think about my own parents, they came from a very kind of meat and two veg, you know, and to the point that when my dad wasn't very well recently, like the Meals on Wheels thing was suggested, and my dad's face was like, absolutely no way in hell, because that won't be nice.
Yeah.
And because in his head, it's just what meat is particular.
Yeah.
Standard,
it's not a dinner if it's
but
not.
It isn't necessarily about the quality.
No, it's about what's on the plate.
Taste.
Yeah.
And so from that point, you go, his taste is...
I remember years ago, like, you'd give people spaghetti bolognese, which was all, you know, which was hip at the time. And then people go, where's the schwoz like?
You know, where's the wife now? He's going, wife whopping sodomites because you're doing that, you know, with your lasagna. So that's basically it. The bottom line is that at the core of it, there's skills and... And there's also
taste. Yeah.
So you got to work out what the problem is. Is it about skills? Find a way for the skills to be improved. And you can't just point somebody's flaws out and go, you're a bad cook. No, why don't you do it? Is the answer to that.
Yeah.
If it's about taste, you go, well, maybe you need to modify your taste. Mm.
Anne-Marie says, my husband is a brilliant cook and really enjoys it, largely helped by the fact that his mother was a terrible one. So he learned out of necessity. Yeah. Apparently, when she did manage a decent dinner, the praise from the family was so over the top, they'd end up eating the same dinner for days.
Yes.
So that man just needed to download some recipes and get cracking, says Anne-Marie.
No, I would agree with Anne-Marie. I think she's absolutely right.
Yeah. I feel awful even admitting this, says a texter. Ooh. I got engaged late last year and I adore my fiancé. He's thoughtful and kind and I was so happy with my ring until last week when my younger sister, who's also my maid of honour, got engaged. Her ring is the exact style I've always shown my fiancé over the years, bigger and more intricate. What makes it worse is that her fiancé earns a lot less than mine and I can't stop comparing. I hate that part of myself, but it's triggered my long-standing low self-esteem. I keep wondering if I'm somehow worth less because my fiancé didn't spend as much on me. I love my sister and my fiancé and I feel shallow and ungrateful. Should I talk to him about how I'm feeling, even if it risks hurting him? Or is this something I need to sort out on my own?
Oh gosh.
Well, can sometimes low self-esteem, people can throw that one up as a kind of a, I'm a bitch, but I've got low self-esteem.
I felt that was weaponized there personally in that scenario. My low self-esteem means that I want you to give me gifts to make me feel better about myself. Look, it's a kind of complicated one and I kind of start this advice knowing that a lot of regular listeners will know that I kind of have an antipathy towards kind of bridezillas and people who kind of invest so much time in their kind of, you know, the wedding is the most important thing and the whole thing and all that. So I'm going to shove that aside for a moment and just point out something that until the younger sister got her engagement ring, she seemed to have a different feeling about her ring. She was the kind of accepting of in what it symbolized and the fact that she was moving on with her life. And suddenly the sister, both symbol of sibling rivalry and comparative kind of, you know, economics, whatever it is.
Yeah.
She's got the ring that you kind of think you want or you seem to think you deserved. Yeah. And then it becomes, is it about the ring? Is it about your relationship? Is it about your sister? The person who wrote this letter in has to actually drill down and work out what exactly is bothering her. Because if the ring was left on her finger the way it was given to her by her fiancé, would that affect the way she feels about him forever and ever? It has something changed there about what she thinks? Because I can't help feeling that it's kind of like it's the comparison about the ring that is causing all of this kind of emotional turmoil. It's not about the relationship. Because she kind of makes a lot of comparisons. My sister has a bigger ring, even though the man she chose doesn't earn as much as the man I chose. Mm. And all this kind of stuff that you kind of go, really? You know, that's, you know, it's not about that. Even the whole idea of wedding rings, the engagement rings, are kind of a commercial, capitalistic, patriarchal structure that have been, you know, foisted onto women to make them think that that's important. When the reality is that you should be entering into your relationship as equals, being happy with the person that you chose, because you're with them allegedly for the rest of your life. And that's what you should be focusing on rather than what you're going to, as Ray would say in her song, Where's My Husband? You know, all I want is I would like a ring. I would like a big ring so I can wave it all around and talk about it. Because it's about the ring, not the relationship.
Yeah, lost me again now.
Have I?
Bad Bunny's friend Ray.
Yeah,
you should check out Ray. She's great friends with Bad Bunny.
Is she?
Yeah.
Does she sing in Spanish?
No.
Okay.
Her ring is the exact style I'd always shown my fiance over the years. It wasn't like the instructions weren't there.
Hello. I mean,
okay, look, if you get a ring and you don't like it immediately, you know, you have a moment where you can say, in this thing, why are we getting the ring? Is the ring a symbol? Is the ring my ring that I'm going to have to wear for the rest of my life and I have the right to have a feeling about it? Or is it you bestowing upon me this gift, which I have to accept with kind of gratitude and, you know?
I think this is really interesting because I think, and I hadn't thought this until you started talking and talking about engagement rings, because dyed-in-the-wool feminists know all about the patriarchal structures, and there's lots of things about getting married that I, you know, always have had an issue with, like being given away and, you know, being expected perhaps to take your husband's name and all that kind of baloney. But an engagement ring is different.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you see, that's exactly it.
It's different.
A sign of ownership.
Yeah.
Men don't have to wear engagement rings.
No, they don't. But I still think, because what happened, like, for example, I have my own engagement ring on my finger, which doesn't go with my wedding band because I chose a ring that doesn't go with the wedding band. And I also have my mother's engagement ring. So it becomes a kind of like...
collection.
And it's probably the piece of jewellery that you'll ever own that costs more than the other jewellery that you have, unless you're very well off. Certainly in my case.
But that's also part of the advertising campaign that De Beers came out with in the 1940s, where they actually literally said, if he loves you, he'll buy a ring that's worth twice 2 months salary. of his annual
that's
salary.
Fine, but
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, but I do think that it is something like from a woman's point of view, leaving out all the patriarchal and the kind of the token of what it means, it is the only time you're probably going to get something, especially if you're married to a man, that is something you hopefully will love and something that's, you know, reasonably expensive.
Okay.
You won't ever get it again. You genuinely won't ever get it again.
Ah, sure, he might buy her some, you know, nice kitchen utensils that are very expensive.
And so that's number one. Number two, the other thing which I want to say, and this holds true for Christmas, for your birthday, but especially for your engagement ring, you can drop all the hints you like very often. Not always, hashtag not all men, but you can drop all the hints you like. You can leave them out, detailed drawings and instructions, and they'll still get it wrong. I firmly believe, just a moment, I firmly believe that women should buy their own engagement rings. Not pay for them, but they should buy them.
Not pay for them. Okay.
Not necessarily pay for them, but they definitely should buy them. But I do think, I mean, when I read this letter first, I was like, oh my God, how old is this woman, for God's sake? You know, comparing her ring to her sister's ring, and that's ridiculous. She was happy until, as you say, the sister got hers. But the thing that did kind of make me think was the thing about it's triggered her long-standing low self-esteem. And I think that's something, I mean, you said it, she really does need to work on that, because your self-esteem, if your self-esteem is going to be tied up in what other people's opinions are of you or what they're going to gift you, you're really going to be in trouble for
the rest
of your
life. But that's my whole point.
You have to love yourself for yourself.
That's all the reason why the marketing around engagement rings and the kind of the diamond ring Olympics.
Let us have our engagement rings, will you, please?
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
No. I will not. The gays don't get them, so why should the straight people?
Oh, that's a good question. I should have asked.
We love
that.
Each other just as much.
Yeah.
Love always wins.
Yeah.
You could get an engagement ring if you want. Nobody's stopping you.
No, exactly.
God's sakes.
No, but
you'll probably be another controversy. You're intruding into women's safe space by having
with your pearl cut.
Yeah. What's he doing in a jeweler's?
Yeah. By the way, the blood diamonds. Blood diamonds from South Africa.
Trust me, her fiance probably doesn't owe any money for the ring. Your sister's fiance will probably be paying it back for years. Someone else says, I bet the quality of the diamonds in the sister's ring is lower, therefore the stones are bigger but not as good quality. Should men just give the girlfriend a voucher and then she can get the ring she likes herself?
Yeah.
Can you do vouchers for that?
Do what I did. I went shopping on my own for a whole day, finally found my ring, put a deposit on it and told him it's down there, there's a deposit on it, go in and sort it. And he did. And he was. And we both paid it back, actually, for years. Because by the time it was finished being paid for, we were married. So, I mean,
but the ring fits into, for many people, it fits into this kind of Instagram kind of cultural comparison.
Instagram wasn't around when I got my ring.
No, but there was. But neither were eternity rings, the next level of the ring Olympics.
They were.
is if you kind of married X amount of times, the ring marketing companies are trying to convince.
Oh yeah, and they tell you you should get a, you know, something every time you have a child. I didn't get any of that.
Well, move on there. I don't know if we resolved that question really. I know this might sound trivial, but in our house, it feels like a very big deal. I'm a lifelong Manchester United supporter, as is my dad. Now I have a 7-month-old baby, and I'd love nothing more for him to grow up sharing that same bond with his granddad. I am an only child, so my dad never had a son to share that bond with. So I've asked my husband to step aside and let our baby be a Man United supporter. The problem? My husband is a diehard Liverpool supporter and is determined our child will follow in his footsteps. He says it's non-negotiable. Half joking, half not. My dad absolutely lights up around the baby. I know how much it would mean to him to pass on his team. I don't want to cause tension in my marriage over a football rivalry, but I honestly don't think my husband's family support Liverpool as much as my family support United. I know this sounds like a non-problem, but are there people in my dad's family with the Man United crest on their gravestones? Or there are people? Any advice?
I love the innocence of this letter. Like, yeah, the complete innocence. Thinking that you are going to be able to make your child do something or wear something just because you want them to.
Yeah.
In order to make you or your dad, their granddad or their dad happy. I mean, by the time your kids start school or sometime there shortly thereafter, your kid will decide themselves who and what they're into. And they'll also probably decide what they're going to wear. And I hope this kid grows up to be a gahead or something. Somebody who, or a kid who hates soccer or hates sport. So, you know, my advice is, don't be getting your knickers in a twist and making a big deal about this now. Take it in turns to put your little baby, who's what, 7 months old, into a different jersey every week, you know, and keep both sides happy. He wears Liverpool 1 week, he'll look ridiculous. He wears Man United the next week and he'll still look ridiculous, or her. And know that in the end, they will choose who they support themselves, if you allow them to, which is really important that you do.
You know, this whole thing makes me laugh because I get it. This woman wants her own personal connection and her dad's connection to be kind of, you know, maintained. Also, the husband has his own vibe around what team he supports. And I've noticed that, like, for me, that there is this kind of tendency for parents to pass on their kind of the team support onto the next generation, and it is that kind of thing and all that. However, yes, child autonomy not considered at all in any way. You know, as a kid who grew up in a family where I had two brothers, my mum and my dad all loved soccer. My older brother and my younger brother followed Liverpool. I was the gay one in the middle. I didn't give.
Do gays not follow football?
I didn't give a flying Eric Cantona kick over any football at the time. But I decided just to be annoying to follow Manchester United, just to be kind of like, if you're going to make identity such a big thing, I'm going to be a contrarian and show you that it's all kind of stupid. So I'm not interested, but my point was, is that in every intent could have been for us to be a Liverpool family,
I was not going to be
interested in that. Yeah. That's just because my personal journey was different.
And did that cause ruptions?
No, because the reality is that it only causes ruptions. Like, my mum actually followed Nottingham Forest because she was just interested in following them. Literally following this. I'm going back to the 1970s when that team moved from Division 4 all the way through into the Premiership.
Division 1. About sport.
I do. I know lots more about
detailed.
Yeah.
Because when you're a gay, you have to learn a lot about other people's culture. that's just so you can fit in, you know.
so join in the conversation.
How about that? Nottingham Forest
See the centre show. Lady Gaga was there. Wow. That's what the middle show with the Super Value is. I need to go shopping after the segment. There are other supermarkets. But it is, isn't that, funnily enough, just to kind of round up my point, Super Bowl middle time shows are a way of integrating people who don't give, you know, American football, an interest in watching the thing, you know.
It's like the Arcane Boys band.
Ken in Kinnegad says, I'm a Spurs fan of a 6-year-old who tells me he's a Chelsea supporter.
There you go.
Breaks my heart. But whoever he goes with is cool, except when Chelsea play Spurs.
Do you know what? Do you know what? Honestly, strap yourself in, lad, because like your kids are going to keep doing this, and it gets much more important as they get older. They're keep going to be themselves and deciding that what they like, what they're into, who they like, who they want to hang around with. All very often has nothing to do.
Who they're going to vote
do.
For, what they're going to believe
it's
about the world.
Nothing to do
you know?
With you.
You know, it is. It's nothing to do with you.
You can't force your will onto your kids.
They, you don't own them.
Because you don't
it's
own
not
them.
Like they're an engagement
no.
ring.
No, exactly, yeah. Declan.
Yeah. On that subject.
Yes.
We got a text in from Paula in Meath. In my opinion, Paula is an example of a real woman. I've been married 40 years. Never got engaged. I lost my wedding ring in a cow's arse during a calving episode. Fair juice to you, Paula. Barbara and Declan, thanks a million.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.